So Genesis 37, let's land there. And I'm going to look at an individual. And when we're thinking about relationships, there's a gentleman here, his name is Joseph, and we're going to talk about the 8 different relationships that he encounters in his life and how that intersects so sweetly. And we can just glean from this our relationships with real people in the real world, that even though it was written so many thousands of years ago, it's still really applicable and applicable to us today. So we're going to glean from this. This is a true story because there's real names. It's not a parable or an idea. This is a real gentleman. We're going to see him in heaven one day. True story. Here we go. Joseph. Genesis 37. We'll start in verse 3. Here it says, "Now Israel..." This is representing Jacob, "loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made him a richly ornamented robe for him." So the very first relationship that we see Joseph have is with his father. I don't know if you are born in a family where one of the siblings was kind of like, not an afterthought, but it was like, that was a surprise. Wow. You know, in our late blooming age, you know, we received a son or a daughter. So we see his father going, this is really exciting. I'm going to give him a special robe. That'd be a great idea. So we see his earthly father. It's a good relationship. And again, we're going to see some other different relationships. So we can see right out of the gate, he's got a good relationship with his earthly father. That's awesome. Maybe your earthly father, you're in a good relationship with him. Maybe he's even sitting here with you today. And maybe you might be like me, where mine is not so healthy. And so I don't know where my biological father is, honestly. And so my relationship with my earthly father is difficult. And we can land on all over the places with that one. So let's go to the next verse, verse 4. When his son Joseph, his brother saw that their father loved him, loved Joseph more than any of them, they hated him. They hated Joseph. And could not speak a kind word to him. So we see with his brothers, it's a negative situation. Now, I'm an only child, so that's an easy. I'm out of that camp. But I don't know about your siblings, you know, your brothers and sisters. Are you in a good relationship with them? Great, some of them might be here with you today. And some of you, you might be at odds with some of your siblings. And this is what he's facing. Good with dad, difficulty with his brothers there. Let's continue to read in verse 5. Joseph then has a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Like, this is not going well. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly mine rose above and stood right up above, while yours gathered around and bowed down to me." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. So now you've got this great situation where, you know, Joseph is like, cool, like I'm going to be in charge of all you guys. And they're like, yeah, right, over my dead body. Like, I get the inheritance first. You're getting nothing, man. You're getting cut out of the will or something. I don't know what's happening in their minds. But Joseph has a relationship with the dream that God's given him and doesn't go super well. Now, personally, I've shared this with you once before. I'll share it with you a second time. I've actually had 3 dreams and visions in my life. 2 of them have come to completion. 1 hasn't. And I won't tell you till it does because I don't want you to freak out and I don't want me to freak out either. And so I say, God, that's on you. You got to figure that out. And so when God figures it out, I'll let you know. But until then, like, you got to be careful what you say. Because sometimes we say things, we put our foot in our mouth. Never mind the shoe being stuck. We just stick that in your mouth, you know. Or we'll just, yeah, leave it there. I don't know. Okay, keep moving. Yep, verse 9. Let's just kind of continue the story. You know, Joseph has this great dream. He tells it to his brothers. And then he has a second dream. So he thought, the first idea went so well. I'll tell them about my second dream, verse 9. Then he, Joseph, had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Like mom and dad and my brothers were bowing down to me. Then he told his father as well to his brothers. His father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you've had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? Ouch, man. And so his good relationship with his father, he had a bad relationship with his brothers. He was just adding to the bad relationship by the stuff he was saying. But now his dad is not a happy camper with him either. So you're like, this is not going good for poor Joseph. Have you and I had relationships with, whether it's a father, mother, something, it's good. And then all of a sudden, one day, it's not so good. Like, that's hard, man. That is really difficult. Like, that's your blood family. And when it's not going well, it's really difficult to just process that in our minds, isn't it? So that relationship changed. And I want you to see the seriousness of this rebuke. Because when we read that, sometimes we think of rebuke, and maybe English is our second language, or we think about rebuke in different ways. But here we go here. Let me help you understand. So if you want to stay in Genesis cool, I'm going to go pretty quickly through a couple other Old Testaments, because we see this word interpreted just a few times throughout Scripture. So I want to find the same word in another verse. So in Zechariah 3, verse 2, it says, "The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan.'" Like, that's a stern rebuke, right? In Malachi 2:3, "Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants." And in Psalm 9:5, "You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever." So his dad wasn't like, "Hey, son, you know, just calm down a little bit. We don't want to upset your brothers or anything." And he's like, "Hey, like, that was, don't talk like that. I'm not going to bow down to you. Like, it's serious. Like, I don't know about you. I honestly get emotional when somebody starts yelling at me. I actually shut down because of my past. I'm like, I don't know how to process this. And I don't know how to respond. I clam up. And I'm asking for healing, and God's going to help me. But this is what it was like. It wasn't gentle. It was serious. You're like, you don't talk that way. You know, you're the youngest son. Don't talk like that." And so we listen to the wonderful father that he is. Listen to this part, though. We're continuing the story in verse 11. "His brothers were jealous of him." That was them. "But his father kept the matter in his mind." He said, "That's my son. He's got a, God's got a plan for his life. Even though it's difficult, I still am going to believe. Even though it's challenging right now, I still believe in my son Joseph." If we were to flip to the New Testament, we won't go there, just briefly, in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to the mother of Jesus as she talks about her son. "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Even though it was difficult, even though we weren't sure what was going to happen, she just said, 'That's my son, and God has a plan for him.'" Do you see, like, that's a good mother, and that's a good father. Even in the midst of difficulties, God is like, "I'm going to come through. Trust them with me. Lay them at the cross. Let me invest in these kids." But take it seriously, though. You know, as mothers and fathers, as grandmas and grandpas, like, come on! Like, let's believe in our kids. Let's believe in our grandkids. We look out in the world, we say, that's doomsday. But let's believe that God has a plan for them, and they will return. They will come back and serve him, and that God's kingdom will advance in Jesus' name, because the enemy has no power. He has no authority. God is the one in control, and we got to serve him. And so I want to read it like that, man. You can see all the negative things I just shared with you just in a couple of verses, the bad relationships, but God, he still has a plan. He's still on the throne. He still wants to do wonderful things. Man, that gets me excited. There we go. I'm done. Like, that's all I really wanted to say to you. I was thinking about it for, you know, 2 weeks, but no, we're just getting warmed up with the stories. Yes. Let's get back to the story. Poor Joseph. Okay, so we would see in verse 37, it would kind of finish off again for timing. We've got to be gentle. So his brothers end up like selling him to slaves. Like, they're just so fed up with him. Like, let's just kick him out of the house. So they sell him to slave traders. Joseph gets brought down to Egypt with the slave traders. And then we pick it up in verse 1. "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought Joseph from the Ishmaelites who had taken Joseph down again to Egypt." He got sold, brought into Egypt, sold up, made some money on the deal. Now, when I read that story, I think about this. God works in just, I want to be gentle with the terminology I use here, but he works in ridiculous ways. He works in just like mysterious and in our mind crazy. You're thinking, well, God, why? Have you ever looked back in your life and said, how did I get here? And God just brings us on this unique journey. Like, I would like to go that way. And God's like, we're going to go this way, and then I'm going to go that way, and then we'll get you over there, right? And so it's just unbelievable, these stories. So I know, if you can just imagine God just for a second, you can't do that. But anyways, just, you know, pretend you're like, God's like, hey, I need somebody in Egypt, and I want him to rule over Egypt when there's this famine on. Hey, I know. I got this family out in the desert, and they got 12 kids. Let's get the kids to hate the one brother and kick him out. Then he'll get put into slavery. That'll get him down to Egypt, and then I'll redeem him and glorify and use him. Like, what? I don't like this idea. Joseph's like, pick somebody else. I got 11 other good choices over here. You're like, why wouldn't you pick me? And, you know, we just think that way in life. Like, God, why would you allow this to happen in my life? And we start rebuking the idea. Oh, this can't be the Lord. You know, get behind me, Satan, you know. But God, in his grace and his mercy, who knows what he's going to do with you? Think about mine. I've shared it with you. I just want to be careful and share it with you quickly. I grew up in Prince Rupert. And my life was so difficult, I turned to drugs and alcohol. And I had a hard time buying drugs, so I just said, well, why don't I just sell drugs? It'd be easier. And I'm a businessman, so I know how to make money. And so it paid me to get through high school in grade 12. Then I left down there, met my beautiful wife, Amelie, moved up to the Yukon for 16 years. Then God calls me back to Terrace, to the place where I used to sell drugs. Like, are you kidding me? Like, what kind of story is that? I'm your pastor today. You're thinking, like, this is the wrong church. I got to get out of here, right? Like, I don't know, but who cares? That's God. Because God believes, and God, he wants to use you. And so for 23 years of my life, I'm sure my mom and dad were kind of like, no hope for that guy. Remember in my school yearbook, remember, most likely to go to jail. Not nice eyes, nice legs, funny guy. Most likely to go to jail. That's the guy. God's like, that's my guy. I'm going to pick that guy. Thinking, are you kidding me? I'm still questioning God on that one. You know? But anyways, there you go. We'll leave that. We got to keep the story going here. Anyways, let's get back to the story, Joseph being bought by Potiphar, in verse 2 here of chapter 39. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prophesied, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in the eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his entire household. And he entrusted the care of everything he owned. Now Joseph is in this great relationship. This poor roller coaster of poor Joseph's life. You see, he's in a good relationship with his master. He's in charge of the whole house. I mean, he's probably eating well. He's probably getting a daily bath. He's getting shaved. Like, it's life is good for him. So he's in a good relationship with his boss. Now, I've had good boss. Now, be careful here. I'm the boss, so don't judge me like this. But anyway, I'm having fun with you. You've worked for good bosses, and you've worked for difficult bosses, right? Where's my staff? I was joking. I was having fun with you. But the reality is, and so what do you do when you have a difficult boss? How do you live? How do you respond? How do you act? And I think our response to people in that situation reflects our relationship with God, because God loves everybody. God doesn't judge. God shows lots of mercy and lots of grace for them, just like Joseph would here. I'm going to serve my master. I'm going to serve him well. Let's go see. Now Joseph's in good shape here. Things are going well. Good favor with his boss. Let's go along and see what else happens next. If you read the story, you know where we're going to go. Verse 6. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except food to eat. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. This is not good. God, why don't you just pick one that was not well built and handsome? Because this is what happens to poor Joseph. Because God, you made him well built and you made him handsome. After a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me, exclamation point. Whoa. So now his fifth relationship here is with his boss's wife, and she has the hots for him. And now he's like, oh, dang it. You know, all of a sudden, now, okay, I'm just a man. Can I just share a little bit with you? He's had a difficult life. You know what, God? Everything I've gone through, I deserve. Why not? The boss is away. He would never find out. I want to get real with you for a sec. There is a voice that goes on inside your head that will say this often to you when you're tired, when you're stressed out, when you're worried, when you're full of fear. This voice will speak to you and say to you, you deserve, and you have to fill in the blank, whatever it is. I don't know those things that you go to, whether it's food, whether it's lust, whether it's shopping, whether it's whatever it happens to be, it's a crutch that we go to. Because when we're stressed out and worried and full of fear, we need it fixed. We need something to fill in the gap. And we go to the wrong things. We go to the things that are temporary versus going to the things that are eternal, like God. Man, I want to run to God when I'm stressed. I want to run to God when I'm full of fear. I want to run to God when I'm worried. This is what it's trying to say to us. And so I want to pause right now. I want to just pray for us as a church. I want to pray for you as an individual. I want to pray for myself. I want to pray for our community. So let's just take a moment. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. So Father, in Jesus' name, God, you've given us authority on earth. So God, in Jesus' name, we rebuke, as we read today, the thoughts of I deserve. You know what I deserve? I deserve hell because I am a sinner. And the only reason I deserve anything is because of your son, Jesus, who's redeemed me, and I'm saved by grace. That's what I deserve. I deserve the cross, but you took it for me. So I humble myself in your presence. Father, I don't want to deserve the materialistic, the short-term thinking things of this planet. I rebuke those in Jesus' name. Wash me clean of them in Jesus' name. Father, I think about our community that is so easily entangled up in gambling and alcoholism and drug addictions and lustful things. So Father, in Jesus' name, we repent of those. And we ask, oh God, we're interceding on our behalf of the community and saying, God, please forgive us. Please set us free. Please, oh God, show your grace and your mercy. That is, we don't deserve it, but you give it freely. So, Father, help us, oh God, in Jesus' name, to get past this thinking, I don't deserve anything. I deserve and I want a relationship with Jesus. Anything that hinders me of that, please wipe it off. Please clean house in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So we see this very difficult situation that Joseph is put in. And let's continue to keep reading here. So we're going to move into verse 16 now. And so he's had this difficult relationship with his boss's wife, you know, hitting on him. And so at some point she gets his cloak, gets his jacket, and he's waiting for her husband to come home. And in verse 16 it says, she kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then he told him the story. The Hebrew slave you bought has came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. Then his master heard the story of his wife and told him, saying, this is how your slave had treated me. And he burned with anger. I mean, he was in a good relationship with his boss. Now he's in the flipping doghouse. You know, he's in trouble now. And so how do we get out of that? Sometimes that happens in our life, doesn't it? Where our words and our actions might not stand as strong against somebody else's words and their actions. Maybe they're going to look at favor with that story versus my story. How does that play out in life? You ever had that short end of the stick, raw end of the deal? You know, you lost an opportunity to move forward because somebody else said something. So his boss is now ticked off him. Nice relationship. I'm in good relationship with my dad. Now I'm in difficult relationship with my dad. I'm in a good relationship with my boss, and now I'm in a hard relationship with my boss. We see this just roller coaster of emotions. And because of all that, Potiphar says, Joseph, you know, you were doing whatever with my wife. You're out of here. Throws him in prison. So now Joseph is in prison, and he runs into two other prisoners. And this is what happens to this conversation in his, you know, sixth relationship here. So he's in prison. And this is what happens. This is what it means. Two of the prisoners had a dream, and Joseph wants to interpret them in Genesis 40, verse 12. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when he was the cupbearer. Now, Joseph's interpretation of that dream was a good one. It's easy to deliver good news, isn't it? But watch what he says to the second one. Oh, please, Jesus, be gentle in verse 18. This is what it means, Joseph said to this other guy's dream. The three baskets are 3 days. I don't even mean to laugh, but within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh. That's just scripture. I'm just telling you that. So, like, have you ever had to deliver, be the bearer of bad news? That's a difficult situation, isn't it? Thinking, wow. The phone rings one day, and you're like, wow, I got to tell my wife, I got to tell my kids, I got to tell my relative, I got to tell somebody that bear of bad news. That's a difficult relationship. So where would we turn to? Where do we turn to? How do we handle that? How do we work through that? So we can see these difficult situations that poor Joseph is put in. Now, the rest of chapter 40 would tell us that the cupbearer is restored. that the poor baker is hanged, and that Pharaoh has a dream now, and he's beginning in chapter 41. We'll start reading Genesis. And Pharaoh's told about the cupbearer. The cupbearer tells Pharaoh, hey, there's this guy I was in prison with, and he can interpret dreams. And so here we go. We pick up that part of the story. Verse 25 of Genesis 41. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what is about to come. So Joseph interprets the dream, and then Pharaoh says to Joseph later on in verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one else discerning or as wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will you be greater. That is ridiculous. From like prison to second in command in a heartbeat. God can do that in our lives. Sometimes you're like the day before, like yesterday, I don't know what you're doing. It just was like difficult. It was super hard. I don't know about your story, but and all of a sudden you come to church today. I'm telling you, you should feel good. You're like, I'm in church, man. It's going to be a good day. And so where sometimes our relationships, our thinking is, it's just up and down. And so one day we can be in the dumps. The next day we can be on cloud nine. You know, overnight, our life can just turn around. In an instant, you could have said a prayer with me today as we were praying at some point of service. And all of a sudden, your thoughts are different. Your mind is thinking different. You're clear in your mind. You're sharper in your mind. Because you may feel stuck. That's the whole theme, isn't it? Feeling stuck. God can help you get unstuck. God, in a moment, can turn your life around. Let's kind of finish off the story here in just a moment. We're doing great for a time. Thank you, Jesus. We would read this epic story of Joseph's life here. If we just stayed in Genesis, we're in chapter 41. Then we would, this is your homework, and I won't spend time here. Chapter 42, 43. 44, 45, 46. There would be the story about Joseph and his interaction with his brothers and his family. And then we come to 47 here. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramesses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of the children. Because in those chapters, there was this great famine that happened in the land. And they came to Egypt to get some food. And Joseph is in charge. So he says, look, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. Why don't you just move here and I'll make sure that you're okay. Joseph's end relationship now, right? He's in a tough relationship with his brothers who sell them. He's in a tough relationship with his father. Now it's a great movie. This is like a plot. Somebody should write one of these movies, actually. And you're just kind of so sweet at the end. Happy days, you know. Great, great news for Joseph. And so I want to recap this whole thing because there's so many moving parts to this story. And so many ways we can easily connect with it. So if we see Joseph's fascinating relationships all throughout here, though, one thing that is a common thread through the whole thing that never changes. Joseph has a dream. So Joseph is hearing from God. God is speaking to Joseph in Genesis 37:5. Joseph, with Potiphar's wife, says this in Genesis 39:9. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God and sleep with you? There's no way. I don't care how good looking you are. It ain't going to happen. Joseph is in prison and he's still listening to God. Like, wouldn't you want to give up at some point? God, like, there's like, come on. Like, it's just one raw deal after another. And Joseph says this. Then Joseph said to them, the two prisoners, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams and God will interpret them through me. Like, I think I'm out of God's will when I am kicked to the dust in prison, you know, just in torture. But Joseph says, God is going to do this. Joseph and Pharaoh, still listening to God and giving God credit. Genesis 41:16. I cannot do it. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires because he is listening to God. Joseph and his brothers sold him. Joseph's life is going down the tubes. And in Genesis 45:4, and Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Now, I'm just thinking about this comment right here. Just right here, Joseph is like looking at his brothers. He said, you are the clowns that sold me here.
You know, remember me? Look at me. Take his little mouth off. It's me. Hello, Joseph.
Now I have the power to honk and throttle you, you turkeys. Remember what you did to me. That is not what we read. Listen to Joseph's heart like you are listening to God's heart. Listen to this in verse 5. And now, do not be distressed. Don't be angry with yourselves. These guys have made a huge mistake. Joseph, with all the grace that only God could have given him, said, you did the wrong, but don't let it bother you. Because I took it upon myself on the tree and I died for you. I set you free. Isn't that unbelievable? Don't be distressed. Don't be angry at yourselves. I don't know what you've done in life. I know my story. There's times I think about disappointed in myself. And when I come to God, listen to God's heart to you. Don't let that stress you out. Don't be angry at yourself, because I love you. Isn't that just a miraculous, just, wow, thank you, Jesus, for the word of God that says these kind of things to us. So Joseph had great compassion on his family because he loves them. God has great compassion on us. He shows his great care and concern. He takes care of us. He provides for us, just like Joseph did for his family. So when our relationships here on this earth are difficult, often we want to kind of give up on them. We want to just kind of get away from them. God does not act like that. He will never divorce you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He wants to be in a tight relationship with you. Do not treat him like your earthly father does. Do not treat him like your earthly relationships do, where they come and go and they come in and out of season. God loves you. I love you. And this church loves you in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you.